Greet you in the name of Jesus. I welcome you all to this part of the worship service. I think in the last 2 days, yesterday and today, there would have been hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people that have met to worship. I want to look this morning at worship. You can turn with me to Psalm 95. And I want to look at some of the aspects of worship here. We'll read Psalm 95 now. It says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." We'll look at three different sections here. The first part, we'll look at the definition of worship. And for the first part, we want to look at what worship is not. To define what worship is, we'll first look at what it is not. We know worship is not praise. It's two different things. But worship is not an event. And all these kind of will probably sound a bit different or strange, because we know that all these things are part of worship. But worship is not an event. We call the Sunday morning service a worship service, but calling it that doesn't ensure that we will worship. You can attend a worship service without worshiping. So it's just being at an event does not define it as being worship. Jesus echoed the words of Isaiah when he said of the Jews of his day, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Jesus said that in Matthew 15, verse 8. And he's referring to Isaiah. Isaiah 29, verse 13, when he says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." So they were going through the motions. They were gathering together, but not necessarily worshiping. Next one, worship is not music. Churches may have song leaders, may have choirs, may have singing groups that may lead in the singing. We may sing hymns of worship. We may sing praise and worship choruses, but having the music does not guarantee our worship. Music is a vehicle to take us to the experience of worship. And we all know how that works. Singing obviously can lead us to worship, can cause us to worship, help us to worship, but just the singing of the songs is not in itself worship. And all of these, though, like I said before, if we look at it the other way, definitely are part of worship, and worship experience will probably include most or all of these things that we talk about here. Worship also is not a performance. In a performance-saturated society like we live in, if we're not careful, we may see worship as a performance to be graded or to be categorized or evaluated rather than something that we give to God. We may see ourselves as an audience, and the people that are up front or on the podium as the performers, but none of us are spectators in a worship service. We can all worship equally, and we all contribute equally. All of us should be participants in worship to God or worship of God. And I think maybe sometimes we, maybe sometimes more than others, we know we all have different times when our worship is more inspiring for ourselves. But we can, the temptation or the trap sometimes is to have these rituals. We kind of check them off. We have someone that read the scripture. We had someone that led singing. We sang. Then we listened to the message. And these are things that are part of our worship experience. And if we have done them all, then we have worshiped. But that's, it's not a series of events or rituals, but it is, worship is something beyond that. We'll look at what it is later, but it's not a performance. Worship is not a feeling. Some people think that unless they get a tear in the eye or be a shiver down the spine or work themselves up to some kind of an emotional turmoil, then they have not truly experienced worship yet. Worship is emotional, but being emotional does not guarantee genuine worship. I think there's a difference. And we'll look more at the part of emotion in worship, but just having the feeling of trying to worship is not worship itself. Worship is not something that is confined to one day a week. We'll talk more about that later, but we obviously know that worship is not just something we do Sunday morning or a certain time of the week, but worship is something we can engage in, we can do, we can be in any time. All right, we'll look at the second part now, what worship is. Dictionary definition of worship is to show worthiness, respect, reverence, and especially to a divine being. Worship is a response to God. I think if we truly understand God, if we have a relationship with Him, our response to Him will be worship. We're responding to Him. 1 John 4, verse 19 says, "We love Him because He first loved us." And obviously, if God had not loved us and made salvation available to us, we would not be able to worship Him in the way that we do, in the way that we, that would be satisfying to Him. But because God has loved us and called us and saved us and provided for us, we respond to His love and mercy and saving power by declaring his worth in worship. And that's why our worship can continually grow, our worship experience, because the more we learn to know him, the closer we come to him, the more this causes us to worship. Also, worship is heartfelt. In John 4, verse 23, says, "The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Worship involves digesting precious truths deep into our hearts. Genuine worship is not an emotion, but is always emotional. And when saying it's always emotional doesn't mean we get carried away with our emotions, but our emotions will be touched if our worship is genuine. God's grace always touches our emotions when we look at the true, full aspects of his grace. It touches us. Worship is that which values him above everyone and everything. Worship is that which values him above everyone and everything. Worship is declaring worth and value. You know, there are people close to us that we value highly. We all have people that we value. They are of great worth to us personally, but we do not worship them. We worship God because he is absolutely worthy and supremely valuable. We can honor and respect people around the close to us, but we do not worship them. Only God is to be worshipped. When asked what was the greatest of all the Old Testament commandments, Jesus said in Mark 12, verse 30. Just go to that. Mark 12, verse 30. I'll just read 28. "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceived that he answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all?" The word "first" there means foremost, or which is the foremost commandment. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first, or the foremost, commandment." No one or no thing should be of higher value to us than God. It's a very elemental thought. All right, the second part, I want to look at the why of worship. Why do we worship? First, number one here, we worship because of who God is. Praise is a response to what God does. And worship is a response of who God is. We praise God. We did that in singing this morning. The last song especially was praising God for, I was going to bring the book up here, but a number of different reasons why we praise him. We praise him, we thank him for his mercy when he answers our prayers. We praise him in response of his works. But we worship him for who he is, simply because he is God. We are not worshiping him because of what he will do for us, but because of what he is to us. When worship becomes commercial, it ceases to be worship. When you talk about worship becoming commercial, when we try to make deals with God, or when we praise him because of things that has already done for us, then it loses part of what worship needs to be. In Psalm 95, we have a number of statements that tell us who God is. In verse 1, he is called the Lord. To the Lord. It says the rock of our salvation. Also in verse 1. In verse 3, he is called the great God. Great King above all gods. Verses 4 and 5, he is praised for his work as the creator of all things. In verse 6, he is our maker. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. In verse 7, he is not just some transcendent deity, but he is our God. He is personal to us. He is our great and gentle shepherd. And verses 8 to 11, he is the God of history who called and delivered the nation of Israel. Speaks about how he was their God. And he was calling them, leading them, trying to draw them out when they hardened their hearts in the temptations in the wilderness. He was still the God of them. He is the God of history who called and delivered the nation of Israel. As we move to the New Testament, God revealed himself in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Emmanuel, our God with us. We worship Jesus because Jesus is the Savior. He is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, as it says in Hebrews 1, verse 3. All right, the second one, we worship because of who we are. In verse 7, it says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, or we could say the flock of his hand. And then it continues on. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. But we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. That's a precious thought. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. He leads us. He protects us. He is the creator. And we are the creatures. He is the king. And we are the subjects. He is the master. And we are the servants. He is the vine and we are the branches. He is the owner and we are the possessions. I think all of mankind has something within them that causes a stirring to worship some greater being. And we know people all over the world have that instinct. And whether they worship the true God or whether they worship some object or the sun or something other of their own creation, there is a desire for all mankind to worship. All right, the third part here now, let's look at the how of worship. In the first part, we are to worship corporately or together. Notice the use of plural pronouns in this song. It says, let us, it says that six times, in fact. It says, let us sing. It says, let us shout. Let us come before his presence. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel. Although we can worship any time in any place, there is a special dynamic of God's presence in corporate worship. That's why in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, commands us to not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. as someone has well said, says, Jesus came to change our vocabulary from I, me, and mine to we, us, and our. And I think we all have also experienced that as we worship together corporately, as we are called to do, to come together. And we know, obviously, we can all worship separately, and that is vital to us to worship by ourselves as well. But when we come together to worship, it has the potential to be greater worship than the sum total of each individual. You know, we can help each other to a greater worship experience. And the next one, we are to worship verbally. In verse 1, it tells us to sing unto the Lord. It says, one of the words here translated to make a joyful noise, it means actually to shout to the Lord. You can't sing or shout unless we open our mouths. So we need to worship verbally. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And the next one, we are to worship physically. And some of these things, obviously, different people worship differently. With our Teutonic heritage, maybe we are a little more toned down in some of these aspects of worship. If we would be attending a worship service in Louisiana somewhere this morning, it might be more of this charismatic type of worship going on, more clapping of the hands. But these words, I think we could probably be more expressive in our worship. But obviously, we all know that that can be taken too far, and just the commotion doesn't necessarily give a true, doesn't mean that the worship is always that much more sincere, obviously. But we are to worship physically. Verse 6 says we are told to bow down. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Jesus did that himself, Matthew 26. When he was in agony in the garden there. Matthew 26, verse 39. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And then Luke 22, verse 41 also says the same, that Jesus bowed down, or he kneeled down. I think if it was appropriate for Jesus to bow down in worship and supplication, it is not beneath us to do that either. Psalm 47, verse 1 says, O clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. This is physical worship, clapping your hands, shouting to God in the voice of triumph. Psalm 63, verse 4, thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Psalm 134, verse 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. All right, worship involves both attitudes and actions. Just briefly look at a few of these attitudes. What attitudes are included in worship? Awe of God, wonder, reverence, respect, and adoration. And I think if we have these attitudes, respect, reverence, adoration, it will affect our behavior in our corporate worship services as well. We will be having attitudes of respect and worship to each other. We will try not to make a commotion. We will participate in singing. We will do what we can to make the worship experience better for those around us as well. Our actions, and we looked at some of these, bowing, clapping, praising, giving. Giving would involve, that's why we lift our offerings on Sunday morning. Serving. Worship is our response of all we are, our mind, emotions, will, and our body. Worship is much more than a few songs on Sunday morning. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is constantly putting God first in what we say, what we think, and what we do. When we gather together to sing songs of worship, we are merely putting music to the song that is already in our hearts. The next one, we are to worship obediently. Worship is a matter of obedience. And some people put on a show of worship, but if they then don't obey God all week long, you know, that wasn't really worship. And someone has said, it is not how high you jump, but how straight you walk when you hit the ground. And another person said, the best public worship is that which produces the best private Christianity. Isn't that what worship is to do for us? As we gather together to worship, we are usually inspired. That inspires us to be better Christians in our private lives. Just go now yet to Psalm 149. Read the first few verses, Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let's stop reading there. Our praise, our worship should be fresh and new. And I think it is. We continually are refreshed, and our worship is something that is new every time we come together. Speaks here also of a community or worshiping in together, not just individually. Worship needs to be individual, but it also needs to be corporate. And our worship should bring us joy. And it's not just instruction. And it's not just confined to Sunday morning here together, but wherever we go, we need to be people that worship. It says here, a few of these verses, says, upon their beds, or let them dance. Gives a word picture here of us being people that worship wherever we are, throughout the week or your Sunday morning. Let's kneel for prayer.
Father in heaven, we pause before you. We're so thankful that you are our God for all that you have done for us. And we praise you for all that you have done for us. But Lord, we also worship you. you for who you are, for allowing us to be your children, for making a way for us to be able to follow you, to know that we can do things that will be pleasing to you, and that we can someday be in your presence, and look forward to that time. We just pray now that you'll be with those that are not here this morning, those that are traveling, and keep them safe. And so that we'll be traveling yet as well. Pray that you'll be with us through the day, whatever we do, that you keep us safe and be near to us, and help us to ever have hearts of worship. We praise you for being such a great God and control of everything in our lives. Just be near to us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.